You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Give to us now, dear God, we ask, the glory of the light of your gospel, for what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Savior. Amen. Well, if I had to give this sermon a title, it would probably be Faith When You're Stuck With a Losing Hand. Now, why, you may ask, would I preach a sermon with a title like that? Because faith, when you have a winning hand, isn't what any of us need, is it? I mean, I need faith when I'm not sure what the medical tests will reveal, or when the numbers in the budget simply aren't adding up, or when those that I care about are hurting. I need faith when things are difficult. So that's what this sermon is about. Faith when you're stuck with a losing hand. And our role models come right out of our scripture lessons for today, the lepers in Luke's gospel and the Apostle Paul. We'll begin with the lepers. It says in our gospel lesson that on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus stopped in a village between Samaria and Galilee, and that it was there that he encountered the 10 men with leprosy. And talk about being stuck with a losing hand. In the first century, leprosy was a sentence for disfigurement, isolation, and death. And the ancient world's only defense against it was quarantine. Therefore, those afflicted by it were forbidden to approach anyone else, and to prevent accidental contact, were required to call out as they passed through the streets, "Unclean! Unclean!" Can you imagine? So the psychological effects were just as serious as the physical effects, because people viewed lepers as defiled beggars because they had no way to earn a living, and many even considered the disease punishment from God. So as Luke explains, all 10 lepers were healed, but only one returned to give thanks. Jesus asked, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? And the distinguishing characteristic of the one who did return is given. It says that he was a Samaritan, which is to say, he wasn't a religious person who might have somehow felt entitled to this spiritual blessing. And this is significant because sometimes religious people at least act as though they believe that God does owe them something. Do you know what I'm talking about? "Come on, Lord, remember me? I say my prayers and attend worship. Heck, I just sent in my pledge card to the church. Is it really asking too much for you to come through for me on this one?" See, one of the things that is safe to assume about the non-religious Samaritan was that there was no misgivings about any spiritual entitlement, which made the entire experience of healing pure grace. Now, truth is, we don't know for sure what was going on with the other 9 lepers, but we have been given this clue about what might have been going on with the one who returned to give thanks, and that is, there was no expectation. Grace is, after all, by definition, unmerited favor, and it will radically transform the human heart and life. The Apostle Paul was another who had faith when stuck with a losing hand. In his epistle to Timothy that we just heard read a minute ago, he is suffering, it says, bound with chains as a criminal at the time Paul was in prison in Rome with no hope of release. And we can definitely pick up on the sense of urgency, as though he sensed that the end was near, which it was. Which is why he writes toward the end of the letter, "Do your best to come see me, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure." We call this death row. Like the thankful Samaritan leper, Paul was stuck with a losing hand. And although we might not be able to identify fully with the details of his suffering, certainly most of us are at least somewhat familiar with what it feels like to be stuck with a losing hand. Because don't we all have people or situations in our life over which we have no control? People or situations over which we know what would be best. At least we think we know what would be best, but can't do anything about it. And we therefore feel the powerlessness and despair that comes from being human. And many of us who are familiar with being stuck with a losing hand can only marvel at the faith of someone like Paul, who maintains an unshakable faith in a sovereign and loving God, even in the midst of extreme suffering. And because we'd all, I'm sure, like to leave church today with greater faith and confidence in Almighty God, even as we face the real and difficult circumstances in our lives, I'd like to reference briefly just two aspects of Paul's faith as a model for each of us. The first thing to note about the Apostle Paul is that he had come to accept the fact that he had no power of himself to help himself, to quote from that great Anglican prayer. Quite simply, in the spiritual life, the first step is always giving up. Giving up trying to control other people or situations that cause you grief. Giving up trying to fix the world of all of its problems. Giving up on the foolish notion that we have any power within ourselves to help ourselves. Now, many people get offended by this because when the going gets tough, what? Tougher supposed to get going. We don't want to admit that we're weak, and giving up control is difficult because it brings uncertainty, and people are naturally afraid of the unknown. Oh, we'll give up a little control, just not all of it. For example, if you go into a religious bookstore, not ours, of course, but in many religious bookstores, you're likely to find a coffee mug or something that says, "Lord, teach me that there is nothing that's going to happen today that you and I can't handle together." And I know it's well-intentioned. And if it's hanging on a wall in your home, please, for the love, forgive me. I don't mean to offend. But if you really think about it, you can see how something like that, a sentiment like that, just doesn't square up with the faith and perspective of the Apostle Paul. Because Paul had come to admit total defeat. Paul would have said, or would have been drinking out of a coffee mug that read, "Lord, teach me that there is nothing that's going to happen today that you can't handle." Period. Because Paul had submitted his life entirely to the care of God. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't all maintain responsibility over the choices that we make every day. We do. And I'm not advocating that we just pray that God gets it all done, because God does use us to get it done. We are the hands of Christ in this broken world, but we do have to give up control and let go of our expectations. It's like if Jesus was hitchhiking and you stopped to pick them up, and you said, "No, no, Lord, don't sit in the back seat. Come, please, sit up here next to me, shotgun. In fact, Lord, why don't you take over navigation and take the reins with the radio?" Jesus doesn't want to sit shotgun and help navigate. He wants to be invited into the driver's seat where he can drive the car where it needs to go. Paul, you see, had given up on any vain notion of being able to control anything, especially the fact that his execution date was drawing near, and so he made a decision to turn it all over to the care of God. He wrote in the previous chapter, "I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him." In other words, his entire life and ministry. And that is the second component to Paul's faith when stuck with a losing hand. Because we can't stop with giving up. That's just the first step. If we stop there, we're heading straight toward depression or worse, right? Certainly many of us know people who have left it there. They've given up without ever turning it over to the care of God, and you can recognize their depressed resignation from a mile away. Now, all of this may seem elementary. It is elementary, but it's essential. We have to give up and turn it over, lock, stock, and barrel, to the care of God. And the paradox is that when we do this, we are better able to endure with godly confidence whatever comes our way. It was only after Paul had gotten to the place where he could say, "I give up and I turn it over to you," that he was subsequently able to say, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." And it is when we get to that place that we are at the pinnacle of Christian discipleship. Jesus knew what he was talking about when he said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." The old children's Bible song gets it right. We are weak, but he is strong. How about you? Are you able to go against almost everything the world teaches about self-reliance and just give up on yourself and the foolish notion that you have any control over others and the situations in your life that cause you grief? That's the first question. And the second is like unto it: will you trust Christ entirely with your life? If you and I are ever going to experience the full power of the Christian gospel, then we're going to have to turn it all over to the care of the one Paul came to know as Lord, the one who healed the lepers and rose from the dead and is ultimately trustworthy with all things, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.